Try that again. Yeah, there we go. Now, I was on orange and not green, so that's a bad thing to be. Good to see everyone this morning. Glad you're able to be with us today. We're quite short on our numbers, but that's understandable, I suppose. Not everyone's gone because they're afraid of the coronavirus. Some folks are just out of town still, and some are just sick already from other things. But I've realized this past week there's lots of life lessons that we learn as we go along, some things that you never thought you'd ever have to know about, you suddenly learn. For example, I've learned that it's not a good idea ever to eat bats. I mean, I'm a Cajun. I'll eat just about anything that flies or swims, but I'm not going to eat a bat anymore. So if anybody ever opens a bat wing stop, I don't guess I'll be going there. All my life, I've always tried never let my cars get below half a tank of gas because you never know, you know. And so we found out this week that's a really good idea because you might find yourself with no gas at all if you let that happen. So just life lessons. But now I have to add a new one. Never let yourself get below a single roll of toilet tissue. You might be... I'm just sorry you did, especially since we're in the time when there's no more Sears Roebuck catalogs anymore. You just don't know what you're going to do. So we live and learn, don't we? We do the best we can as we go along. We're going to be back in the pastoral epistles this morning. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, not verse 113, because there's not 113 verses, and then go to 16. It's verse 13. I just don't know how to type. So verse 13 through 16 is what we're going to look at this morning. We just spent 5 weeks on verse 12 of chapter 4, looking at the different... characteristics that Christians ought to exhibit to the world. As we're talking this morning, we're going to move from Christians to, more specifically, each one of us as we are speakers and teachers of the Word of God. We're going to look at the most important work that we will ever do in the body of Christ as we are preachers and teachers of the gospel message. We'll look at today's text, verses 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 through 16, if you want to be opening your Bibles there. I'm going to read the text first, and then I'll start commenting on the text in just a moment. Paul says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Paul is talking to a young preacher named Timothy, about what's really important as a preacher. All of chapter 4 has been dealing with the Word of God, and we're going to see that more clearly as we continue this morning. But it comes down to the very last of the chapter. We're going to finish the chapter today. At the very last of the chapter, he really has a lot to say about the importance of the Word. In fact, we're going to see three different angles that he's going to take in verses 13 and 14. We're going to see three different angles that he takes for the one Word, and we're going to see how important it is for us to be people of the Word, and especially preachers and teachers of the Word. To help open this sermon this morning, I kind of want to talk about the most disappointing sermon I think I've ever heard in my entire life. The most disappointing sermon. It was not one that I was preaching, by the way. I've been disappointed in some of my sermons, but not the most disappointed. Most disappointed I've ever been was when I went to a big gathering of Christians up in the Oklahoma area one time, about 20 years ago or so. And it was the last time I ever went to this big gathering of Christians because I was so disappointed by the outcome. They had one of the best speakers in the Brotherhood at the time was speaking for this particular event. He was one of the mainline, most important, most well-known of all the speakers and writers in our Brotherhood at the time. And he was preaching on a particular night. He had the keynote address, and the keynote address lasted about an hour. He preached for about an hour. And what made me disappointed by this fellow was not that his sermon didn't make sense. His sermon made perfectly good sense. It was a wonderfully put together, well-crafted sermon. But the trouble was that the entire sermon was just nothing but one story after another story after another story. He was assigned a text by the board that assigned the text, and the text that he was assigned, he read at the very first from a paraphrased version. He didn't even read the whole version of the text. That was the last reference that he made to the Bible in his entire sermon. Preached an entire hour, never had another Bible verse, never mentioned the Bible at all. Just told one story after another story after another story. When I was done, everybody's like, man, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. That's such a wonderful sermon. But I was very disappointed. Because I think that our responsibility is not to ourselves to tell nice stories. Our responsibility is to the Word of God to make sure the Word of God is heard. So as I'm exploring my responsibility to the Word of God this morning, I want to do so from Paul's viewpoint as he looks at three different angles for the Word and what he tells Timothy to do. You'll go back to your text and notice that Paul says, first of all, that you need to participate, make sure you're spending time in the public reading. Public reading of the Scripture is what we have. The New American Standard actually provides the word Scripture for you. Basically, all that Paul says is, the public reading. But I want you to notice that the Greek there is the word te anagnosis, gnosis being knowledge or understanding. And so he says, Be sure that you're involved in the reading, in the reading of those things that are knowledgeable. So he's talking about Scripture, of course, when you have it preceded by the article te, in this case, or to, if it's another part of speech, but te, when you have it preceded by the article, it's always going to refer to Scripture. That thing which is the most spiritual in the conversation. So Paul says to Timothy, you need to be involved all the time in the public reading of Scripture. I find that we're not set up well to do that in the churches unless we're going to do it in sermon time. When we get done with everything else that we're doing, if we're not going to spend time reading the Word of God, publicly reading the Word of God in sermon time, then Bible class is another time to do it. But we just need to make sure every Sunday morning when we come together, every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, when we come together and meet, that we're letting the Word of God live and breathe. The Word of God is living and active, but not if we don't invoke the Word of God in the things that we do. So as we're here, and as I'm here this morning, you'll hear me refer to Scripture quite often. In all my sermons, you'll see that I always include lots of Scripture in my sermons. I just have always done so. I made a decision on that day way back when that I would never be a mainline speaker in the congregation. I'd never be one of the greatest speakers in the brotherhood because I'm not going to do that to myself. I'm going to let the Word of God speak instead of me speaking. That's for the most part what I try to do. I always have multiple texts in my sermons. Not as much as when I was growing up, the preacher that I grew up under, I would have like 100 or so verses in every sermon. But he never read the verse. He would just quote he'd quote the numbers for the verse, give the numbers for the verse. You had to look them up on your own later on. But he'd put 100 of them. I don't do that many, but I usually have several in every one that I do, every sermon. So Paul says, you need to make sure every Sunday, every time you come together on the Lord's Day, that you are participating in the public reading of Scripture. Second thing he says is you need to make sure that you're participating in exhortation. The second word they use there is exhortation. That's from the Greek ter paraklesis. A paraklesis is a word that basically means to comfort one another, to encourage one another, to uplift one another, to also exhort one another. So as we're seeing this, it has to do with the message that we're preaching. Through the message that we're preaching, we need to be involved in the work of the paraclete. Now, the other place that you'll see that is basically in John chapter 14, verse 26, when Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the New American Standard, I thought, used the word comforter, but it's not. I think the King James Version uses the comforter, and somebody else uses comforter, but the New American Standard chooses the word helper. But I think the word comforter is a better word there. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, Jesus says, and remind you of all the things that I've already preached to you before. So as we're looking at what we should be doing with the Word of God, not only are we supposed to be reading it and making sure that it's publicly read when we come together, but we're also supposed to be exhorting one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another, by using that very word. Then Paul will look at a third thing that he wants Timothy to be involved in. That's what we're going to look at third this morning. He says you need to be teaching. You need to be involved in teaching the Word of God, all right? So we're going to be preaching and reading the Word of God. We're going to be exhorting from the Word of God. Then we're going to be making sure that we're teaching from the Word of God. And there, the third phrase that Paul will use here is the word te didaskalia. Let me try one more time. Te didaskalia. Getting the inflection in the right place is hard to do with Greek sometimes. Didaskalia. So, the article appears before each one of these. So we're going to do the teaching, not just any teaching, but the teaching. I can teach just about anything I wanted to, except for math up here, because I'm not very good at math. But I can teach anything I wanted to. But no, what I'm supposed to be doing here is teaching you the Word. So if I'm not doing those things, if I'm not teaching and sharing the Word of God, if we ourselves are not teaching and sharing the Word of God, if we're not exhorting from God's Word, then we're really failing as God's people, because those are the things that are most important in all that we do. We want to be certain that whenever we're gathered together, God's Word is going to be at the center of what we're doing. We want to make sure that it's going to be preached and taught and exhorted, that we're exhorting one another from that Word. How important is the Word of God to what we're doing? Well, it's so important that Paul will spend an entire chapter here in this particular book, in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, spend that entire book talking about how important the Word of God is. I want you to realize that Paul was one of the mainline preachers of his time. He was the most well-known of probably all the preachers in the first century. He wrote more books in the New Testament than anybody else wrote. He preached more sermons probably than any of the rest of them ever preached. He went more places. He's an amazing man. One of the things that Paul realized really early was how important it was for him not to ever exhort himself or to uplift himself or to exalt himself. He always took the back seat. He was very aware that his speaking, that in his speaking in behalf of the Lord, he could easily be elevated to a position in which he would be worshipped rather than God would be worshipped. And he was always very cautious about that. Always made sure that everybody understood that he was speaking from God and not from himself. He didn't tell a lot of stories as he was preaching, not nearly as many stories as Jesus told, as a matter of fact, but he preached doctrines, pure straight doctrine. That's why we've already seen twice in our Bible class this morning, now again in the sermon this morning, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul himself says at that point in time, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then also for the Greeks. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. Not I'm the power of God. It's not about me. It's not anything about me. It's not whether I'm a good speaker or not a good speaker. It's not whether I'm really powerful in the word or not powerful in the word. It's whether or not I know the word and I can preach the word and speak the word, and the word has the power itself. Paul says, the word of God is the power. The word of God has that power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That word has the power. And that power is so important because it's the power for salvation. We're going to see in just a moment that salvation is the most important thing that we ever will have in this world. Even more important than cars and houses and bank accounts. If we have salvation, we have everything that we need, right? Paul recognized the gospel was more important than anything else it will do. And so he's very serious in this charge to Timothy that he preached the word. I want us to be just as serious this morning as we talk about this charge, because Paul will talk about how important this is in the context of a greater chapter on how important the word is. He has lots to say to Timothy about his lifestyle, but he also has a lot to say to him about the words that he preaches. The seriousness of Paul's charge is so incredible because, first of all, it goes back to the very first things that he said in this chapter. If you'll go back with me to verses 1 through 5, still in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, Paul says, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith. Folks, how do you come to know about the faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing by what? Word of Christ. All right, so faith comes by hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. So the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith. Well, we're living in the later times, folks. We're getting as late as we can possibly get. We are in the later times. So some folks are falling away from the faith, and I think we see that around us all the time. Falling away from the faith, they're buying into all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with the word of God because they don't even know the word of God. They're paying attention, Paul said at that time, to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And those doctrines of demons, he said, were being taught by men who are seared in their consciences as with a branding iron. We didn't even know the truth, and they didn't care to know the truth. They were just preaching whatever they wanted to preach. So he says, there are men who forbid marriage and advocating abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Well, how do you know the truth? Where's the truth found? The truth is found in the Word of God. The only true, tangible truth that can be found, that can always be found to be true, is the Word of God. So you find the truth, and you find your faith in the Word of God. Everything created by God is good, Paul goes on to say, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. It is sanctified by means of what? The word of God and prayer, all right? Everything that we enjoy in this life, everything that we have in this life, everything that we'll ever have in this life that we can enjoy, that we receive with gratitude, the things that we eat, the things that we share with one another, the houses that we live in, all of those are sanctified by the word of God because the word of God is paramount to everything that we do in this world. Everything that we do in this world is tied up in the word of God. So that's very serious. It also refers back to verse 6 through 7a, the first part of verse 7, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, pointing out what things? Pointing out that there are some folks that are teaching a bunch of myths and legends, right? Pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the what? The words of the faith and the sound doctrine. Where do you get sound doctrine, folks? Sound doctrine from the word of God. Where do you find the words of the faith? Not just the words of faith, but the words of the faith. What is the faith, folks? What's the faith as different and apart from the word faith? The faith is that constant or that continuous whole message that we teach and preach from the Word of God, that whole thing that we have all together is the faith. And we have sound doctrine as well, which you have been following. He goes on to say, but you have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. Now, I remember when we went through this before, I made you older women feel a little better about that. It's not, Paul is not just getting down on old women, but he was saying fables that would be fit only for older women, not what we're involved in. Also, another life lesson I learned this week is don't cough in public if you can help it, all right? It gives you strange looks these days. another side, just for the fun of it, while we're taking a break here, try not touching your face. See if you can do it. See if you can not touch your face for an entire day. I've never paid attention to how many times I touch my face until this week, and now I do it all the time. Anyway, I'm not supposed to, so I'll try not to, but in the meantime, I'm coughing and I'm touching my face and I'm just a germ waiting for a place to happen. Third thing we want to notice this morning about the importance of Paul's message is it also refers back to verse 11. Verse 11, where Paul says to Timothy, prescribe and teach these things. These things, what things? Things that lead to faith, folks. Things that lead to the gospel. Things that are the truth. Things that are tangible. Things that have to do with the word of God. Preach and prescribe and teach these things. To prescribe means that you're going to stand up for yourself and you're also going to teach others to do this. Timothy was to be a preacher who did everything in his power to disseminate the word of God. Everything they could do was to get the Word of God out to people, because the Word of God is paramount to everything that we do. Another preacher, another time, not too long ago, I had another really disappointing sermon. And this was by another really well-known brotherhood preacher. Everybody knows him. Everybody speaks highly of him. He was preaching, and he was actually preaching a sermon that had, again, just nothing but a bunch of stories put together. Problem with this guy was I'd been around the block enough times by this time to recognize most of the stories, all right? Most of the stories he was saying, that all happened to him. But I heard 15 other preachers say that happened to him as well. So after a while, you start doubting whether the preacher's really preaching the truth or whether he's just preaching a bunch of stories. Since he didn't have any sermon, any meat to a sermon from the Word of God, basically I couldn't really judge the man by his stories, because I thought they were all borrowed and he was lying about that whole thing. Meanwhile, in the midst of this sermon, he said, there's some preachers who have three-point sermons, and I'm tired of those three-point sermons. Some preachers have two-point sermons, and some preachers have one-point sermons, and some people have no-point sermons. But the no-point, I didn't say that, but anyway. He said, I'm very sick and tired. He said, I'm worn out from these three-point sermons. Folks, I preach a lot of three-point sermons and a lot of two-point sermons, and I'm going to continue to do so. I'm not worn out by them, because the points are in the Scripture itself. I preach as many points as I think the sermon's going to need to preach what I'm preaching. This morning's only a two-point sermon, by the way, if you're checking your outline in the bulletin. It's a two-point sermon, all right? So I'm going to do that because the Word is what's important. It's not whether I can really craft together a beautiful sermon that has lots of good stories that hold up the story or the sermon. If your sermon's not based on the Word of God, what is it really supposed to be based on? Why should we even be preaching if we're not preaching the Word of God? So Paul is teaching the young preacher Timothy, preach the Word, speak the Word. Now he's going to get a whole other letter later on in four chapters into the next letter before he says to Timothy what you said to me this morning, preach the Word, be ready in season, out of season, all right? He's going to say that to this same preacher Timothy, but I just want you to realize how important the Word of God was to Paul, how central it was to everything that he did. So Paul says to Timothy, you need to prescribe this, you need to teach these things. Then in verse 14, he says something that's sort of out of character, but I want you to see it in light of this, everything that he says. He says in verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, the presbytery, folks, is basically, it's from the Greek word presbyteros, which is basically the elders, right? So the elders of the congregation. In fact, the New American Standard puts a little footnote at the bottom that says, or the board of elders, right? So, all right, if you want to have a board of elders, if you just want to have elders, that's fine. But the presbyteros, the presbytery is the elders. So Timothy had a spiritual gift that was given to him by the laying on of hands, miraculous gift that was given to him by the laying on of the hands of the elders of the congregation. We don't know for sure what this gift is, but I'm going to suppose with you for just a moment. What could this gift have been? Well, in light of this entire context, as Paul is spending an entire chapter talking to Timothy about preaching the Word and being prophetic in his preaching, I think that's what his gift was. His gift was to be able to preach accurately the Word of God, miraculously endowed with the knowledge of the Word of God, so that he could preach it accurately and not fall astray of the false things that were being taught in the day. So basically, Paul's saying you need to make sure that you're using your gift. But we have different gifts. We don't have miraculous gifts any longer, but we have different gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we need to exercise those gifts. But if your gift is in preaching and teaching, then you need to preach and teach the Word of God, not your own thoughts, not your own opinions, but the Word of God. So judging from the context, Paul was saying to Timothy once again, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Do what you're supposed to do to make sure the Word of God is heard where you're at. Either way, Timothy was charged with preaching, so we're going to let him be charged that way. We're going to pay attention to why he says this. Now, there are various degrees of seriousness that Paul is applying in this particular message, degrees of seriousness. I want you to see that how very important this charge was that Paul was giving to Timothy, that we stick to the Word of God at all times. The charge was vitally important, so that Paul uses three additional matters. I can't count those, four actually. Four additional matters. I put three on here and then I never went back to check myself, but four different things that Paul will tell Timothy that he needs to make sure that he understands concerning this Word that he's telling him to preach. Look at verse 15 and 16. We'll end our sermon here. Take pains with these things, he says. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. So four things that Paul will tell Timothy, and all of them have a Greek foundation. So I'm going to just give you the Greek since I do that all the time. Even though most of you don't read Greek, some of you do. And so I'm just going to give it to you. All right. First word he says is when he says to take pains with these things. The word take pains comes from the word meliteo, which means to meditate upon them, take care with them in your mind. Organize them in your mind. Make sure that you're paying attention to what you're saying, that you're saying what you mean to say, that you understand the Word of God accurately enough to say the things that you're going to say, that you're going to be a good workman for God. So take pains with these things, he tells Timothy. And the second thing he says to him is be absorbed in them, all right? And the word there is the word isti, which is basically the idea of being completely absorbed, completely inundated with this word. So Timothy is not only to be involved in the word, he's to be so meditating on the word, so full of the word, so aware of the word, so absorbed in the word, that he can speak the word when he needs to, and he has that word ready in his mind, all right? And he says in verse 16, the first of verse 16, he says, pay close attention to yourself. Now, the word pay close attention to yourself is epeko, which means to hold upon, retain, or pay attention to something. Make sure that you retain what you're studying. Make sure you're holding on to it. Make sure that you're paying close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Notice there's two things there. He says pay attention to yourself, meaning the things that we looked at the last couple of weeks, the last 5 weeks in verse 12 there, when he was talking about the attitudes or the characteristics of a good man. Pay attention to those things, to yourself, and then also to your teaching. Then the fourth thing that he'll say here is persevere in these things. And the word persevere is the word epimeno, which means to remain, to abide, continue, to always be there, all right? So here's a young preacher that Paul is saying, the word is your business. The word is your business. You need to make sure you're about that word. Make sure you're always in that word. Make sure that word is in you. Make sure you're understanding the word. Make sure that you're teaching the word, because there's a great benefit if you do, all right? How central, vital, necessary, important, and indispensable is this word to our Christianity? If we're Christians without the word, then we're just a group of people following some plan. We don't have any idea what we're doing. But if we're Christians following the word of God, then we have the truth. We're holding on to the truth. We're paying attention to the truth. I really suspect this morning that there are lots of churches who chose not to meet, not necessarily because of fear, but because it was convenient for them not to do so, because they're more concerned about their other activities than they are about the word of God. I'm being judgmental when I say that, but I suspect there's some of the folks that are in that situation. On the other hand, those of us who are here because we're serious about the Word of God, and we want to be involved in the Word of God. So we're very much aware of that. There is a reward for such devotion to the Word of God, and that's made clear by Paul at the last, verse 16. Paul says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, persevere in these things, for as you do this, as you are secure in the Word, as you're preaching and teaching and exhorting from the Word, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and also for those who hear you. There's no better reward than I can think of than salvation for myself. I want to go to heaven. I really do, folks. I want to go to heaven. I want to be there. I want to be able to see all you folks there as well. So if I can ensure salvation for myself by preaching accurately the Word of God, then I'm going to do everything I can to do that. But then I can also ensure salvation for those of you who are hearing me. If I'm standing up here telling a bunch of stories and I never have any gospel in my stories, then you're going to be lost in the end because you don't have the Word of God in you, all right? Unless you get it on your own. So what better reward is there than to ensure salvation for myself and also for you folks that are listening to me this morning? It's enough for me to want to do what I need to do to be in the Word of God at all times. I try to spend a lot of time every week studying the Word of God, trying to study for the lessons, trying to study on my own from time to time for stuff that I need. But I'm all the time in the Word of God. Every day I have something going on from the Word of God. If we can all do that, if we can all be involved in the Word in such a degree, we'll all be able to ensure our own salvation and also salvation for others that will hear us as well. This is something that's not just for preachers, it's for everybody in the body to understand. As we are champions of the Word of God, we're able to bring salvation to other folks around us, and that's something that should make us all very happy and very glad. If you're keeping the word to yourself, you're not doing what Paul asks you to do. We're to exhort, we're to read, we're to make sure that everybody has a chance to hear that word as much as possible, because we are the people of God. So I'm going to sum up this lesson in two really very quick points in the last slide here. That is, we have a charge from Paul, and that's number one, to preach well, number two, to preach the word. That's two things, preach well and preach the word. As we have that opportunity, let's take that opportunity, let's do everything that we can in our power to make sure the Word of God is heard in this world that we live in. Either teaching across the table with friends and relatives, teaching from the pulpit as you have opportunity, teaching in a Bible class, teaching on the internet. There's so many different ways for us to disseminate the Word of God that we need to take advantage of. This is a really wonderful time in history when almost everybody has access to the Bible. Almost everybody across the world has access to the Bible. They can either get it by the internet or they can get it some way. But with that in mind, we have to make sure the Bible is in us, right? We have access to the Bible. We've got to make sure the Bible is in us. Spend your time in study, folks. Spend your time in study. Spend your time working with the Word of God. Spend your time preaching and teaching the Word of God. Exhort folks. Do everything you can to get that Word out there, because the Word is going to make the difference in this world more than anything else that ever will. We know that media is powerful. We know that mass media is powerful. How powerful is the Word of God if we'll just get it out there? It's very powerful. Folks, let's make that Word of God available. If you're here this morning, you haven't received the Word of God, if you have just now heard the first lesson maybe you've ever heard this morning, If you don't understand anything else, you need to understand this. You cannot be saved without Christ Jesus. If you haven't been baptized in his name, if you haven't been added to his family by the washing away of your sins in the waters of baptism, if you haven't had the blood of Christ pay the price for your sins, then you're still lost in the world. If you'd like to be saved this morning, we'll help you with that. If you'll come and let us know your intentions, If you'll confess the name of Christ Jesus before these brethren, confess your sins, repent of those sins, we're ready to baptize you and bring you into the family of God. If there's any other way that we can help you, anything we can do for you, if we can help you with praying for you, if we can help you with anything you need, whatever it is, we'll do what we can. Just ask you to come and let us know those things as we stand as we sing the selected song.